Nobody does talk radio like Civic Media. So glad y'all are here. We got Cardi behind the board. Give us a call. Everybody's wanted to talk about Act 10, the Act 10 decision. Unions, what is collective bargaining? Why does it matter? Can we have discussions about where unions might fall a little short? Because I think these are actually really complicated, fascinating issues. And so, let's continue to talk about this. Y'all have had a ton of comments. I know, Mark, you were on the horn. I think we had somebody else. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I never want to shut it down when we are having one of our patented great conversations. So please, let's re-engage. This is something that, again, I have had a front row seat to, which is the impact of Act 10. Both as a frontline employee, I was in the Municipal Lawyers Union at the City of Milwaukee when I first joined because I was just a frontline staffer. I eventually ended up running the City of Milwaukee's 401k styled plan and putting in some major changes there. And employees didn't trust us because they had just watched their paychecks get cut effectively by somewhere, sometimes over 10%, depending, based on Act 10. Lots of distrust, and I ended up in management at Milwaukee County. So I've seen this from all sides. And at Milwaukee County, as a manager, as the leader of our law department, I worked with HR in negotiating with our public safety unions. I know what that looks like. I know what the process feels like. I know where the pitfalls are. I know how the lawyers act that represent unions. So I am here for all of your comments and discussions. This is one of those where I think, like, the party lines, both from conservatives and from liberals on this, don't quite get it done. Okay. And so in full disclosure, I'm going to try to take every single call and every single text I'm going to give some voice to so that we can actually have this discussion. I think it's an incredibly important one. And I'm going to just start right out of the box by giving you what my take is on, I'm going to keep it narrow to public sector unions, but some of the commentary can extend into private sector unions. Here's the fundamental point for me. I have always thought that Act 10 is unconstitutional. When you strip away frontline employees' rights to get together and fight for better working conditions, better pay, and higher benefits, that is a violation of our constitutionally protected right to assemble. That's what that is about. If you want to talk about being a Christian, well, one of the best known Christians out there, or groups of Christians, is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church for centuries has talked about the dignity and necessity for the full expression of human dignity to be able to organize as labor. Okay? That is fundamental. I will always support the right of workers to organize. Here's where it gets a little complicated. I want unions to actually represent all of their membership. I want unions to be aware of how politically labor is being represented. And by that, I mean not who is their elected representatives, but does the labor union or the union movement continue to have, or does it need to regrow, the faith of the general public, as well as its youngest union membership? My experience has been that unions are really great at advocating for their very senior and top level employees. I wonder why that is. But they don't do so well advocating for and advancing their interests of their most junior employees. I also think that compensation that is only tenure-based is problematic. Should tenure be a part of compensation decisions? You bet. But should compensation and bonuses also be based on effectiveness, efficiency, attitude, all those kinds of things? Yes, unions have not traditionally been really good at talking about that, right? These are the sorts of things that provide attack opportunities for those that want to degrade the ability of working people to organize, which is fundamentally anti-American and anti-democratic, small d. Now, I'll add this to the mix, and then I'd love to hear more from you all. 855-75-CIVIC, that's 855-752-4842. Unlike the private sector, in the public sector, What is the government's response to unreasonable union demands? So they can say no and they go through these long, protracted negotiations. But is the government ever going to lock out its employees? When's the last time you heard of a public employee union going on strike? I can't think of one. I point these things out because the very nature of public service is different from the private sector in some way, shape, or form. All public service employees are providing some kind of essential service. So you can't lock your employees out. It's unlikely your employees are going to strike, though they used to retain those rights. So what happens? So public employee unions aren't on exactly the same footing as private sector unions. There's different issues at play, or at least more complicated issues. And I'm going to tell you what my biggest criticism of unions are, or my the biggest criticism of unions is. And there's one. Why do you always blindly defend the obviously and evidently incompetent employee? Why? It destroys your credibility as organized labor. Can unions better police their own ranks? Push out those underperformers. Push out the evident racists from your police unions and from your force. Push out the crazies, push out the freeloaders, push out the ones that make all of the rest of us who work so hard look bad, who destroy our credibility, whether you work on a police force, a fire department, or you're an accountant for a governmental jurisdiction. That is one of the things that I think folks that aren't in unions will raise. And I think the amount of money that unions pay to labor lawyers, the attorneys that they hire to fight every single thing to the nth degree every time, is unconscionable. Unions should be taking a hard look at whether or not those labor lawyers are actually returning value for the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars that they get paid. I've negotiated and litigated with many of them, and I'll tell you this, it's a volume operation, y'all. I'm not a huge fan. Not a huge fan. Now, let's take some texts, and we're going to go to the phone lines, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Andy from Wausau, whom I often have a spirited discussion with on the text line, is pointing out that governmental jurisdictions should, quote, negotiate better. Here's the trick with that, Andy. And he also follows up and says this: companies hire powerful lawyers. This is sort of the point here. Hire powerful lawyers during negotiations to get offers low to most factory employees. Cities and counties can do the same. No, not really. Okay, just more on that in a second. Weak negotiating skills result in lopsided contracts. I've sat in many contract negotiations, mainly on the union side. We always ask for the highest expectations, then both sides negotiate a fair proposal. One of the reasons that I think you saw sort of benefit creep in public sector unions is that the mechanisms by which employees are disciplined and terminated are just very different. For example, in Milwaukee County, civil service employees, this has nothing to do with unions, nothing at all. Civil service employees have a presumed property right in their job. So like any disciplinary proceeding, you can challenge as an employee, and then there's a hearing about it. And so what that means is that it's not the same as the private sector, right? And there are certain mechanisms that are beyond the reach of bargaining in government. That's why it's not always exactly analogous to private sector unions. In other words, this stuff is really complicated. That was some comments from Andy. Let's see here. Andrew from Maine. Side note, not Act 10. Oh, he loves my t-shirt today. It's such a simple, obvious message. Yes, my t-shirt, if you are not watching on the U of the Tube or the X or the face of the books, says trust Democratic women. I am a Democratic woman. I hope you trust me. Thank you, Andrew. Wes from Middleton says, Per the Walker Voss School of Thought, Dr. Ben and those out in the streets answering the crisis lines that work for governments, connecting people to resources are not public safety. I'm excited to see them attempt to explain that in court. This is one of the issues with Act 10. When you think about public safety employees, conservation wardens carry guns. All kinds of folks carry guns and enforce laws, but they weren't included in the definition of public safety. And by the way, at the end of the day, what do all governmental employees try to do? Increase public health, safety, and wellness. So why isn't it all public safety? In other words, who got to bargain about what could not be rationally explained? And by the way, one of the biggest rationales could have been cost savings, but they couldn't make that argument because the largest drivers of costs, especially in the city of Milwaukee, were police and fire benefits and pensions. So they could never say that. That's why when they go, oh, it's about the cost savings now, is a bunch of hooey, okay? That is just bogus. It was raw political calculation. Let me keep going down the text line. Dave from Waukesha. It's hard to want to carry the torch of advocacy post-election. Even before the election, it felt like wind was knocked out of my sails. I stopped listening to talk radio for a while because of how I was feeling. I worked hard as an advocate against MAGA school board, BS in Waukesha for the last few years, and the LGBTQ hate parade. Now I feel somewhat rudderless, like it's all for naught. Wondering if there is a segment of folks out there who are feeling the same. I do sometimes too, Dave, but I will say this. The very fact that we're having this discussion about Act 10, that there is this lawsuit that's going on, get involved in your local and state government. Pay attention to these elections because these matter a whole lot. We may not be able to do much on the federal level for the next 4 years, though keep an eye on the House of Representatives, right? Like, holy cow, keep an eye there. That might be a 1 or 2 seat margin, so it's not going to take much. But local and state government, especially that Supreme Court election in April, keeping me motivated. We're going to come back, finish this discussion up, y'all. I'm going to go to the phones and back to the text lines next. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked, y'all. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.